Hi, smiling people. How is it going? I'm your host, Kish from Smiling Rocks. And thanks for tuning in with us on Talks to Tell. We invite guests to share on social and business related topics such as the diamond and jewelry industry and discussions with our charity organizations on making this world a better place. Smiling Rocks is a lab-grown diamond and jewelry brand with an aim to build a chain of smile through sustainable luxury and giving back to our communities with your choice of charity. Find out more on www.smilingrocks.com. Today we have Gillian Crane, the president, and Alfred Khan, the founder and chairman of First Responders Children's Foundation. This organization provides financial support to children who have lost a parent in line of duty, as well as families enduring significant financial hardship due to tragic circumstances. We will now listen to a conversation between Zulu Gaviria, the CEO and co-founder of Smiling Rocks, Kishra Mahmood, the global brand director of Smiling Rocks, Gillian and Al about the organization and their work to support and change lives of the first line heroes and their families.
Okay, thank you very much, Gillian, Al and Sarah for joining us for this amazing podcast, and I really appreciate it on behalf of Smiling Rocks community and myself to give us the time and then give us this chance to be, you know, like share and discuss the more details about First Responders Children's Foundations and the relation between Smiling Rocks and you. I really appreciate the kind works that you are doing for all the heroes that who is putting their lives in front of they're saving us from all the dangers they can. So that's amazing works that Smiling Rocks is inspired by, and we are very honored to help you in whatever the works that you are initiating and working on. So that's the one things that we have always in our mind, and here we have a great chance to talk to you about and share some details to our community. So if you can, Gillian and Al, you can share something about a bit about your background and your connections to the First Responders Children's Foundations.
Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate your support, and we're delighted to be here with you. About 20 years ago, 9/11 happened, and I was running a major kids entertainment company, and everybody in New York was wondering what to do about this horrible tragedy. And, you know, of course, it was just a complete horrific period. And a lot of companies were going down to ground zero, and they were dropping off supplies and, you know, and things in the site. And I felt, and looking at this thing, that there was basically no one that would really survive that, those buildings coming down. And so as I thought about it, I thought about the fact that I read that 800 children had become either fatherless or motherless in that particular explosion. And it was in September. And obviously, you know, the holidays were starting 2 months later with Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And I wondered what was going to happen to those children who were very young. I mean, they were very young. What was going to happen to those children going into the holiday? And what kind of holiday were they going to have? Well, obviously, it was going to be pretty bad. So I drove down Broadway, which I believe was the parade route, which is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade route. And I saw that there was a big restaurant on that particular route called the ESPN Zone, which is no longer there, but it was a very, very big restaurant. And I called them and asked them, what do they do on Thanksgiving morning? And they said that they're closed because of the parade, and they don't open until after the parade passes. And I said, well, how many people can you fit in that restaurant? And they said, we could fit about 1,800 people, 1,500 people. And I mentioned the fact that I may want to invite a number of people. Are we okay?
Yeah,
we are. You're good. Yeah, I want to invite a number of people to that restaurant on Thanksgiving morning. So I then called the mayor's office in New York, who I knew no one about at that point. And I made the idea about what happens if we invited all the families of first responders who had lost someone at 9/11, that have children and bring them all to the ESPN zone for a Thanksgiving breakfast and then for a parade watching on the sidewalk? Would you cordon off like 7 blocks of the parade route so these people could get right down to the bottom of the parade? Well, they thought it was an incredible idea, and so they contacted the fire department and the police department and the Port Authority, and they all agreed to try and put this together. So we had our first Thanksgiving event literally 2 months after 9/11, and that all the people that were invited came, and of course a lot of people from the government came, but it was never publicized. It was not a publicized event, because it was very sad, as you can imagine, having all these people in one room that just sacrificed a parent. So we did that the first year. And I realized after doing it that this is going to be a long-term problem for the children and for the families in terms of how they're going to respond to this horrible tragedy. So we decided after that to start a 501(c), and then we started to develop other programs for, obviously, for first responders, children, including scholarships and that ilk. So over the last 20 years, we have continued to build the programs out to where we are doing multiple, many more things for first responders. And I think, Jillian, would you pick up where I just stopped about where we are now? I gave him a little background in terms of
Yeah, we also want to hear from Jillian that, like, how she is connected, and Al, like you just mentioned, amazing story that how you have just connected yourself with just seeing this all tragedies, like the whole world was shaken, and then you pick from the right from the heart of the people that the childrens that who might have needed that time a very serious support from and warmth from the community. That's what you have provided. Jillian, you can please share us something about your connection.
Well, I think that what Al did was just inspired in a way because of his thoughts about the children that day. And I think that the foundation, I came along later, so much I guess 2011 or 12 when I joined the board. And I was inspired by the mission to provide education opportunities for children of first responders who had been killed or wounded in the line of duty, and that included, not just fire, but police and DEA and both federal and local first responders, and it was a national organization. And I just thought these are the people who protect their communities and run into danger and are there when we call 911. And I thought that mission was really important. My background, I'm an actress and I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then I was living between LA and New York. When I joined the board, I really was kind of inspired to put the focus more on women. It was kind of at that time a very male dominated culture in the first responder community. That's changed significantly. But my feeling was that I wanted to bring more diversity and women and sort of highlight, other first responders that aren't often seen. So that was pretty much something I saw that I could do if I joined. And so then a couple of years, I guess 3 years ago now, the board elected me to be president. And then that's what I've been doing for the past 3 years now.
Great. Thank you very much for your service.
Volunteering, I should say.
Oh, that's a great thing.
Yeah, you're making a fortune on this
one. Not a paid position.
No, that's amazing. That's amazing. Like nothing can be better than that, honestly. Al, I know that your background is very much connected to introducing Japanese anime such as Pokemon and Ninja Turtle to America. Did your background play a part of founding this organization?
That's a great question. Thank you. Obviously, I've been very connected to children my whole career. And when I was young, I lost my father on Christmas morning he died. And that was a life-changing experience because I was, 13 or something of that ilk, and I had lost my father. So I knew the pain that particular situation evolves. And I also knew that how do you replace your father? You can't replace them. So here, at least I had some warning that my father was going to die. He was sick. But in this case, these kids woke up one morning, their fathers or mothers went off to their jobs and never came back. So there was a tremendous shock in terms of that. So I really felt that since we are in the children's space in terms of, doing things with children, that we owe it to children to give back in that regard. So, and also remember, when all is said and done, that's all we have. I mean, when you think about if you're going to build the biggest building in the world, or you're going to build the biggest this, what reality, what do you have? You have your children who are going to be the next generation of people living on this planet. And how do you get that planet ready for them? Or how do you get them ready for the planet, maybe? So I think that was the rationale for my position. And, it's been incredible. It's some days it's the most saddest day you could have, and other days it's the best day you could have. So it really runs the gamut. But if it wasn't for people like you and your organization and, all the other people that support us, we wouldn't be able to do this because it's really a joint effort that requires a tremendous amount of time and, of course, money. And that, we need to spread the word about what we do so that we can garner not only additional funds, but we can help more first responders.
Thank you for taking this initiative, and I really appreciate it. The things that you have built, it's going to be forever. And one thing that we can definitely assure you, like Smiling Rocks has become a part of First Responders Foundation. So we will be there whatever way we can, whatever the big or small amounts that whatever we can support, we will be always there. And that's what will motivate us to, stay with the force, stay with the people of our community. And then we will always keep trying our best.
Yeah. And I think, I think it's important. And Jillian has always says this, and I hate to speak for Jillian because she's very capable of speaking for herself. Jillian, talk about how many of our contributions are, there's so many different types of contributions and so many different amounts. Why don't you give a little flavor text to that?
Well, first of all, I do want to say thank you, Alan. I want to take a moment to say thank you so much for your generous support. We really appreciate it. And it comes, individuals, from lemonade stands with kids to, multi-million-dollar, companies who supported us and everything in between, every dollar helps, and 98% of what we bring in goes out into our community in programming and financial COVID-19 health grants, which I can talk to you a little bit about what has been happening the last year and a half. But it really is because of people like you. And when Sarah told me about this, and I was really excited to hear, how you heard about us and, what that process was. I know you're interviewing us today, but I'd love to know.
We would love to share with you. So, Smiling Rocks is committed to giving back. That's our mission, actually. So the business is built on the philanthropic business model. So that at my age of 43, that I and my family has decided that whatever business we will do in future, we make sure that we commit ourselves to giving back. And wherever we can, wherever the work we love to work, give back. And so we build the Smiling Rocks, the whole business model. And then 3% of our B2B business and 10% of our B2C business, the revenue is going to the charity now. And we are making our partners the partners who really giving their heart and soul to the community service. And we are committed to support them for all the business. And that's what we were looking for, to, go and find the best NGOs and supports, where we can give our best. So Kish was looking at, and then she found one of the best interesting, the beautiful website. And she said, look at what First Responders Children's Foundation is doing. Like, they are actually backing those heroes that were putting their lives in the dangers for us. And that's, our board has very much excited. I was very much excited to, you know, like, go back and support. So, and that there, how we are connected. And like, you was very kind enough to accept our smallest donations and welcome us to, and invite us to, like, we can even support and start with from the small. And there we are. So this is how we connected with you.
Kish, well, thank you so much.
I was really, really excited to, you know, bring this on to Zulu. And I was like, you have to see what this organization is doing. We don't really hear much about, you know, the frontline heroes are supporting our lives, but we don't see how we support them. And especially their family once something happens to them. So that's how I saw your organization. And I thought it was really unique. I love what you guys were doing. And, you know, Smiling Rocks, we always want to build smiles and we want to support families who are maybe in trouble or maybe, you know, some parts of how we can do whatever we can. So I really love the fact that you work hard on the education side of children who are, you know, having some financial difficulties, families with financial difficulties. So yeah, we wanted to support that, and that's how we got connected. And yeah, we're here now with our podcast introducing to you to our community. Yes. So on that light, we just wanted to know more about, you know, how do you support children in terms of their education? How does that funds are used, and what kind of children are qualified for those kinds of funds? And yeah, we would like to share some information on that.
Jillian, do you want to answer that one?
Absolutely. And So the foundation started with education being the primary focus, so scholarships. There's an application process. Basically, the ones who have a parent who has been killed in the line of duty take priority, and they go to our website and fill out an application. And then we have an expert, really, in the world of, you know, university entrance scholarships, also looking into what their financial need is, what their grades are. It's a very, we just ask that they have a certain level, but it's not, because of the hardship and the emotional distress that happens in a family with a parent who's been wounded or lost, we are really want to just support them to go where they want to go. And they apply, and we have a whole committee that's been devoted for 20 years, actually, some of them been here from the beginning, looking at these applicants and, you know, prioritizing the ones who have lost a parent. And it's needs based, basically. It's all over the country. We give them a certain amount every year, and then we check in with them at the end of the year, and we try to give them the money through their entire educational process. And what we found out is many of them want to be a first responder themselves. They want to take up the mantle of their parent, you know, in some way, whether or a public defender or an engineer that, you know, solves problems, or a doctor, a nurse, police officer, fire, diplomat, you know. So we have the gamut of everything, and it's just that is what we did from the beginning. But we've really expanded to help children of first responders in a much more significant way, I think, on a daily basis, because I don't know if it's time to talk about this, but when COVID-19 happened, we realized that the scholarship may not be the focus for a while. And we decided to kind of pivot quickly. And with one of our corporate partners, CSX, which is a railroad company here, we decided that we would put a press release together and announce that what first responder families really need now are financial help. It's financial help, because see, a 70%, and I don't know how it is there, but 70% of firefighters in this country are volunteer. Mm-hmm. And that includes the ambulance drivers, the emergency medical technicians, paramedics, those people that go out when you call 911. many of those are volunteers, because in the smaller cities or even in the bigger cities, you can only have so they can only support one or two or three firehouses, but so many of the other ones are volunteers. So when they lost their jobs, when everything shut down, the foundation really was the safety net for them. So we announced that we were giving a COVID-19 financial hardship grant. And then we were selected to be part of a concert. There was one concert in last March that, not this past March, but the March before, when that Fox Entertainment did with Elton John, and it was called the Fox Entertainment Living Room Concert for America. And it was the first Zoom concert where you had, like, you know, Alicia Keys in her living room, in her t-shirt, playing the piano and supporting First Responders Children's Foundation. They selected our foundation and Feed America to be the charity partners. And from that point on, we were really able to show people, because of Al's commitment to the foundation for over 20 years, we had the integrity and we've shown that we know how to get the money in the hands of the people who need it. We're friendly with the fighter organizations and sheriff's associations. And we expanded our definition of a first responder to include nurses and medical personnel and paramedics. So there was a kind of trust in the foundation that if companies and individuals came to us, we would be able to get the money out. So we had like 25,000 applications that came in for that grant. We went through all of them. We actually hired out of work Broadway actors and directors and producers to go through and read all of these and put them in order and then present them to us. And every morning we met and talked about, okay, let's get through as many requests as we can. Let's get the money out as quickly as we can. And that led into a PPE program, because people like in North Little Rock, Arkansas didn't have PPE, you know, so we were able to really distribute then almost a million masks and hand sanitizers out into the world. And so this past year, not only did we give out 145 scholarships, but we ended up, you know, paying for, unfortunately, 268 funerals. And then we realized that first responders needed to not be in their homes, right? They wanted to be safe and their families safe. So we paid for 13,000 hotel room nights with food stipends in the five boroughs here. And then we did it in California. And then there were the fires, the wildfires out in California. And we're like, oh my God, these, you know, first responder firehouses don't have, can't afford an ice machine, and they don't have any way on their trucks to have cold drinks. So we brought them Yeti coolers. In the middle of the whole thing, we flew to San Jose and brought them Yeti coolers, and we got them an ice machine, and we, you know, because they were covering the major wildfires in the foothills of San Jose. Mm-hmm. So there was so much to do that we were able to do because of people like you, really, and because of our donors, that when there was a call, when there was a need, we just decided. What Al did at 9/11 was, what is the need? What do first responders need? Oh, they need those children to be taken care of with their education. And when this happened, we quickly decided, what do families need? What do these children need? And I would say now the biggest problem is the mental health. One of the biggest problems now families is mental health, because they've had so much. We've all had stress, but then you think about if you're a child of a first responder and they're going out every day, you don't know if they're coming back, and you don't know if they're going to come back sick and get you sick, and you're, you know, and there was so much trauma around that. So now we're focused on a mental health programs, and really, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So we're helping with a 9/11 suicide hotline. I mean, there's a lot of. Yeah. PTSD, not just in New York City, but all throughout the country, and certainly in the world. And so we're doing what we can for these children and their families, because we believe these are the heroes, as you said. Yeah. These are the heroes. And if no one's looking out for their children, then I think that it's sad. So that is the mission, really, to say, okay, we're going to be there for us. First Responders Children's Foundation will be there for their children and make sure that they know when they go running into danger that someone has their family in mind.
And I want to know, Jillian is obviously eloquent at giving that that conversation. I just wanted to add one other point, that the needs of these children. Think about, we also do a lot of work in the communities relative to police organizations or fire organizations who are trying to help people, children of any race or creed or any need inside their particular jurisdictions. So we've just launched a major initiative to rebuild playgrounds and rebuild tennis courts, especially in low income or, areas where they have been neglected over the last 30 years. Because obviously children need activity. They need to be put into a space where they feel safe. So that's an area that Jillian and Sarah and our crew have been working on, and we just announced it. And, and it's just an amazing thing. And so we are obviously always looking for more resources, because that seems to be always the modulator. And but with people like you and with people that run our foundation, we think we can obviously continue to grow.
I just want to add, that's called the power of play. And Sarah's been integral in this too, which is really important. The second part of the mission is to help the agencies go out into their communities. So whatever that means, whether it's our Toy Express over the holiday when we couldn't have Al's, the benefit that we have at Thanksgiving, we couldn't have it, everything was shut down. Mm-hmm. We were like, what do we do? So we had a relationship with Mattel a little bit, with Barbie. And then, so the team went back to them and went to American Girl. We had all of these, we went to Hess Trucks and TQL Trucking. Sarah brought in an amazing trucking company. We ended up getting out 500,000 toys to 300 cities all across this country. It was just, we helped agencies inside their, so whether it was a police organization or fire or hospital, we helped them then deliver gifts to their underserved communities. And with that, we had all of these toys. We thought, well, the power of play would be a way to get children and help agencies in some of these public housing and underserved communities renovate their basketball courts and their parks and make gymnasiums available on a Saturday night with support of the public safety NYPD, so the kids had a place to go on a Saturday night so they weren't on the streets in danger or causing trouble. So we decided, we're going to take our toy relationships now and bring it to the power of to this program and really help agencies go out and serve their community so that children have a better relationship with the police, for example, and they have a better relationship with the law enforcement, and the law enforcement goes into the communities and plays basketball with them and knows who they are. And so that is a better experience from the very beginning with public safety. So we can help agencies and their support of their community, and that's been a really important mission, which we're trying to raise money for, right, Sarah?
Well,
come help us with the power of play.
Well, any words will be falling short to thank you enough. Like there is no words for this such a works that you are doing right now, but like as an individual, like what do you think the people can support? Their frontline heroes or the organization that you're doing, like how an individual will they connect? Like I can share my experience with you. Like during the pandemic, we were all locked in home, and I was feeling like short of the warmth. Like I was feeling like every family is there, like locked in the house, and they're not connecting with their friends and families. Of course, we are talking on the phones. So I started a campaign called Share Your Hearts with the drawings to us. We plant a tree on your behalf. So we received thousands of hearts from the people around the world. And that campaign was very successful. We planted trees on that. And I was talking with my team, say, I don't want to stop over here. Can we bring it to the next level? Let's say what we can do. And then I said, let's thanks to the heroes. And we designed a pendant, we designed a jewelry, where we can encourage people to gift to their heroes and thank them, and all the money that we receive from those sales that we donate to the organization that we wish to support. So that's why we design a heart which called thanks, thank you for your service. And we recently has run this campaign on the Times Square, and right now we are committed with that particular amount that we have sold. We're supporting back to the Frontline Heroes Foundation's Children's Foundation. So this is my initiative we have done. And I want you to I wanted to ask you, like, how individuals can join with you and then can support you, the what you're doing on this.
Well, first of all, let me just say thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you. That's a great idea. Anything that can be used to help give back, we appreciate. And I think that idea is really pregnant. Julian, why don't you talk about what individuals can do and what we're looking for in terms of the support.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, that is a brilliant idea. We need to do something more like, I mean, that's a great idea. Al had a wonderful idea at some point for Thanksgiving, right? To have people go into places and there's a company here that makes very small cupcakes or whatever they are. And he had this idea that we would have people buy those and bring them to firehouses or just buy them and his percentage would go as a thank you. And I love this idea of a pendant or something like a heart. It's such a great thing because the person gets something and also you can give something. It's really a win-win. Individual donations, certainly we welcome them. They can go to FIRST, that's 1strcf.org, yeah. And donate. If they want to be a part of, they can join our social media. We're on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. They could just get our message out. It would be fantastic. Write to us to, tell us their story. We share all of, we certainly will share about you on our social media. Anyone who donates to us, we do that for them. So join us on our social media. Go to the website. If anyone wants to volunteer, if they're in the United States and want to volunteer for any of our events, we're happy to have anybody with us. In fact, we hope we get to meet you in person. Do you have small children? I think you said you had some children, right?
Yeah, I do.
You need to bring them to our Thanksgiving event at some point.
They will be. They will be very happy part of it.
The floats fly over them.
No, great. Thank you very much.
There's something missing about how people can support us. Do you want to add something?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that people can support. I think, we have a lot of different, you say on a business side, at company events, there's a lot of companies have annual sales meetings where, they'll choose a charity beneficiary, where then say even Al or Jillian could speak at their annual sales meeting, as far as we're always partnering with companies like you where we'll take a percentage of the proceeds of a sales promotion. That's one easy way where companies can participate with us, but they'll focus on different times of the year. So say we have National First Responders Day on October 28th, and that's a big time of the year. So say companies right now are planning ahead, and usually it is right about now where they're planning for October or for the holidays. So say if they wanted to partner with us in preparation, a lot of companies are preparing for how do we want to honor our heroes for 9/11, because this is a really difficult year for our first responders. So if we want to commemorate and honor those heroes of 9/11, and these aren't just the first responders that we lost on 9/11. We have so many first responders that are still dying because of respiratory illnesses since 9/11. I think there's ways that we can honor those. And so if companies or individuals want to have fundraisers, there's so many crowdfunding ways that, even we have 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds that bring in their schools or high schools or colleges to be able to host fundraisers. We have birthday fundraisers on Facebook. So there's so many different ways that they can honor our first responders, around 9/11 or National First Responders Day, or even on, around the holidays as well. So, that we have a lot of options on our website. So if anybody is interested in finding out more ideas, please visit the website or you can contact me as well.
And one of the things I've also seen, just individuals who may not even have the ability to give us money, if they went up to a first responder and said, thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. It's really an amazing thing when you talk to and I do this all the time and no one knows who I am because I'm not wearing, I'm not going around with a sign. I'll see a first responder, whether it be a policeman or a fireman, I'll thank you for your service. And they really appreciate that. So there's a lot of, intangibles that can be done to make them, understand how important we believe they are.
Thank you very much, Al and Jillian and Sarah. Smiling Rocks will be always available for you whenever you think there is a need for anything we can participate. And I really appreciate for your time and the amazing the stories you have shared with us, the great works you are doing, and the helping the community. We will be always thankful to you. And on behalf of Smiling Rocks community, I am actually urging and requesting all the communities who is listening that they definitely can make part of their business to serve the community wherever they believe, wherever the areas they do, and especially the First Responders Children's Foundation, such a works that you are doing. I'm really appreciating the efforts you're doing, and I really request our community to go and support the organization, and we will be always grateful to you. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the fact that it's kind of late there and it's kind of early here, but we got together. So thanks again. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your support, and thank you for your enthusiasm and your brilliant business ideas.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you. We look forward to talking to you again.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure we had a great insight from Al and Jillian. We'd love to hear your feedback on today's episode. Don't forget to leave us your comments. Subscribe to Talks to Tell to find out more about our upcoming episode as soon as they're aired on the podcast. Follow us on our social media account at Smiling Rocks Co. to find out more about our next guests. Keep smiling, as you know, Smiling Rocks. Bye for now.